The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. And what a blessing this psalm is and has been through the years to God's people. I would imagine it's one of those frequented psalms, and when someone really has a disturbance of soul, that they, if they open their Bibles, they think about Psalm 23. And of course, just reading it, if you just read down through it, it reads like verses of tenderness, doesn't it? Just comes across as, here is our shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. For years, I used to have a little background on my computer of a Middle Eastern shepherd, a real shepherd. And all decked out, clothes are dirty, he's got the shepherd's crook, and he's out there with the sheep, and just out in the wilderness, out in the weather, out in all kinds of dangers out there, all for the sake of the sheep, just to remind me of how a shepherd teacher ought to be with his people. And so we ask this question, well, who is our shepherd? Well, he is God's chosen one. He has proceeded forth from the Lord, and He is from the days of eternity. And we learn that this great shepherd of ours is the Son of God. And He's the one who took on human flesh in the person of Jesus, our good shepherd. And we know He's a good shepherd because the quality of a good shepherd is that He gives His life for who?
Sheep.
The sheep. He's not a hireling that's out to save His own life. He is out for the benefit, for the sake of the sheep that are in the fold. And we saw that Jesus really views, at least in His first coming, He views all of life through the eyes of a shepherd. He beheld the multitudes. He was moved with compassion because they were like a sheep without a what? Without a shepherd. And that's the way lost people are. They're just, as it were, all on their own. And death will creep up on them at a time in which they are unprepared. Because of the resurrection of our good shepherd, the straying sheep have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. He not only shepherds our souls, He guards our souls through His faith. He holds that. And of course, when you think about how does He do that? How does He shepherd His sheep? You've got to think about John chapter 21. When our Lord asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "What? Lord, you know I love you." And He said, feed my lambs, right? Feed my lambs. And that happened how many times? Three times. And so Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses, he says, this is the quality of a good shepherd. A shepherd is someone who guards and shepherds God's people through the teaching of the shepherd's voice. Right? We have the great shepherd who's overlooking us all, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and He has lowercase s shepherd teachers that He gives to the church that feed the Lamb of God, take them as it were, to the green pastures, right? The green pastures of the Word of God. And they shepherd God's people. And so as we looked at this, we saw that verses 1 and 6 are really, as it were, bookends to our great needs. We are a sheep. If you're a true sheep in the fold of the great shepherd, you have no lack. Now, we may think we have lack, right? We may be wandering around, like Hebrews 11 says, in caves and dens and deserts. We may not always have everything we want to eat. The sun may not always be shielded from bearing down upon us, but our true needs of soul are provided for us. And in verses 2 through 5, you really have our great needs that He takes care of. And the first one of those needs is given to us in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now remember, David is speaking from the prospect of a sheep, right? Okay, he's seeing himself as a sheep, and the Lord is his who? Is his shepherd. And so when he says, he, that's the shepherd, makes me, that is the sheep, meaning David, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. The very first provision for the people of the Lord is guidance unto true rest. Guidance unto true rest. Now, I want to examine that here just for a few moments. We're going to be looking at several passages here in our Bible, but we're here in Psalm 23. Go over to Psalm 95. We're going to be back in that Psalm a little bit later. But in Psalm 95, look at verse 6. You probably, you probably have this memorized. But it says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now look at Psalm 95, verse 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His what? Of His hand. So who's our shepherd? God is, right? God is our shepherd. And we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hand. And so here, what we need is this guidance unto true rest. Now, if I was going to make a very, very rough translation from the Hebrew in verse 2, it reads very literally this way. In your pastures, He rest me. R-E-S-T-S. So He makes me still lie down. You could use the word rest. He makes me do what in green pastures? He makes me rest in green pastures. The second half would read this way. Unto a resting place of waters, He guides. Okay, so if I was going to smooth that out even further, I would word it this way. He rests me in His pastures. He guides me unto a resting place of waters. Okay, so here, everybody got the picture there? So if we're looking at verse 2, the word lie down, I use the word what? Rest. And when it says beside the quiet waters, I use this phrase, a resting place of waters. So let's take a look at the first picture. He makes me rest in green pastures. This is a picture of a sheep that has been set in rest, at rest in green pastures. The green pastures would represent what? Right, their food, right? They partake of that type of thing. But the picture really isn't of God providing rich food for His sheep. The picture is that the sheep is at what in the green pastures?
Rest.
He's at rest. And what that means is this. When a sheep is at rest, he is ruminating.
Now you say, what in the world? Ruminate.
Well, a sheep, unlike, similar to a cow, but it's not the same. We are like sheep, and sheep have this digestive system that when they're at rest, they actually regurgitate a little bit of what they partake in, and they continue to chew on it. And as they chew on it, it changes from a milk-like substance to like a protein substance. And so here they are, they're out in the green pastures, right? They've already fed, and what now is happening? They're at rest, right? And when they're at rest, sheep are ruminating. And so what is that parallel to a believer? Right? What would you be doing? Having already fed, what would you be doing? You would be meditating, right? Exactly what Psalm 1 says. That you meditate day and night. And so as we're meditating, we're thinking about that verse, there is this milk that we can get, right? Right there on the surface, there it is. But the more you meditate and the more you see from the Scripture those interconnections that are there, and it begins to open up a little bit, not only do you get the milk, but you get the milk and the meat of the Word, right? The protein of the Word. And so this is a picture of a sheep that is ruminating upon healthy grass. This lets us know that the shepherd pastors his sheep through teaching. Remember what Jesus told Peter? Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. Jesus said, feed my sheep, Peter. Did he do that? He did do that. And so this is the shepherd pastoring his people by teaching, and as the sheep gather in that good nourishment of the green pastures, once you take that feeding in, you've got to stop and do what with that food? You don't say, hallelujah, church is out, let's forget about it. Now, what do you do? What should you be doing on Sunday afternoon? You should be thinking about it, right? You should be meditating thereon. And I can assure you, the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you will grow. The more you will grow. You don't want to be a sheep in the flock of God, of whom it said in Hebrews that when you should be teachers, you had need, once again, for someone to teach you the very milky things of the Word of God. You don't want to be that way, right? You want to be growing and maturing. And it comes by being fed, and not just being fed, but meditating upon that. And folks, isn't that one of our greatest needs? To be fed. And the Lord makes you lie down. And we got to be careful of that. I myself included. You know, we get a little free time and, you know, instead of saying, you know, I could take 5 minutes and really spend some time thinking about the Lord and about His Word. It's like, I got some free time. Where's that comic book I want to read? The Lord makes us lie down. And of course, I have heard testimony after testimony after testimony of believers, you know, they've been doing their own thing and all of a sudden they get sick or they're in an accident and they're in the hospital. And they'll say something like this, you know, the Lord had to get a hold of me. And so He put me on my back, right? And there you are on your back, and you can't do anything else but what? But think. And the Lord gets a hold of your heart. Well, folks, it's better if you just learn to meditate all the way through instead of having to wait to get in an accident.
Yeah.
Right? Just meditate and develop that skill to be mentally coming right back to something that you have fed on that day. It is a fight. All of us struggle to do this. But this is a picture of this healthy sheep ruminating upon healthy grass. And this is one of our great needs as a sheep, to be fed and meditating upon this. So the second picture is in the second half. And this is really where, for me, was the richest part of this study. He makes me rest in green pastures. And what does sheep do when they're resting? Ruminating, right? And he leads me beside resting places of water. Okay. And I translated here the word quiet as the word resting place. And that is this Hebrew term. The Hebrew term carries many, many different connotations. It's translated quiet here. If you look over here, look if you've got a little column where it gives you little references. I got a number one beside that on verse two, and it says literally waters of rest. All I did was add the word places, waters of resting places of water. Now, if you do a search on that Hebrew term that is translated quiet here, and I've translated it resting places, let me give to you just some of the instances in which this word is used. Now, this is the whole point of where I'm going tonight, okay? So, number one, it is used of Israel in the wilderness. And when Israel was in the wilderness, the Bible says that the Lord journeyed in front of them. Like a shepherd, right? He journeyed in front of them until the Lord found a resting place. Everybody hear that? Okay. Until the Lord found a resting place. And when the Lord stopped, when he found that resting place, they what? They camped. Okay, so here you got the shepherd looking for this resting place. That's in Numbers 10:33 and Deuteronomy 12:9 if you're taking notes. Secondly, this word resting place is used in connection with the temple. The temple was associated with the presence of his resting place. And of course, that's where the presence of the Lord abided, right? Right there in that temple. When women got married in the book of Ruth, one of the blessings that they would say to that woman was, "May you find a resting place in your marriage." So what are they saying? Peaceful, right? That you would have a home that would be full of peace and quietness there in your home. Solomon's name was referred to as a man of rest. Same word here, a resting place. And even when Solomon prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 concerning the Ark of the Covenant, he said, "Lord, may the Ark of the Covenant find a resting place in this temple, in the Solomonic temple." Everybody getting the picture? This is why I added the word place to it. Okay? Then, and this is wonderful, we don't have time to look at it, but in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied that one day in the future, there would be a glorious resting place on Mount Zion. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. And in Isaiah 66, the Lord asked, like, "I dwell in the heavens. Can you build a temple for me to fit in?" And the answer is what? No, absolutely not. And the Lord asked of man, "Can you build me a resting place?" And of course, the answer to that is what? No, you can't. And the interesting thing here is that in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah speaks of a soul of a man finding a resting place in the Lord. So this is a well-used word, isn't it? But you kind of get the picture that this is a place of cessation, right? This is a place where you stop, you rest, you're at peace, right? Here is that place. And I want you to go back to Psalm 95. Because Psalm 95 is going to give us an insight here concerning this resting place. And if you recall, as we started off our devotional tonight, we read verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now look at verse 10. For 40 years I loved that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter my resting place. Everybody see that? Okay, that's our word resting place. Same Hebrew word that Ruth translated over in Psalm 23. Now, let's just note something here about Psalm 95 and verse 11. Therefore, I swore in my anger. Now, who's speaking? The Lord is. The shepherd, right? The one who brought them through the wilderness. Truly, they, who are the they? Israel, for those 40 years. Truly, they shall not enter into my resting place. Whose resting place? The Lord's resting place. So he asked man in Isaiah 66, can you build me a resting place? Answer, no. But does the Lord have a resting place? Yes, he does. And we know that by the word my. Everybody with me? Now, here's another thing fascinating about this. Verse 11 is quoted in your New Testament. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to that reference. It's the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Now, remember, in the Old Testament, you shall not enter into my resting place, right? Same Hebrew term here that's used for beside resting places of waters in Psalm 23. This is where he's guiding us to. Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my what? My rest. He's quoting from that Hebrew text, right? So the word rest here, I don't know what it is in the Greek. I didn't look at it here in the Greek. But in the Hebrew, it's the word resting place. What is he talking about? Well, it is a rest, and verse 3 says, who enters into that rest? Believers do. And if you'll notice in verse 2, he says of that nation of Israel that they had the good news preached to them, just as we also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. All right, what about people who hear and they do unite it with faith? They're believers, right? Those who are believers have entered into the resting place. My resting place, the Lord said. So let's find out. Look down here. He's going to talk all about that rest. He's going to talk all about that Sabbath rest here. Verse 3, for we which believed entered that rest, just as he had said, as I swore in my wrath, they should not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from when? Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. God's resting place was there when? Before the foundation of the what? Of the world. Everybody see that? Okay. Now look at verse 4. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter in because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. Okay. All right, you want to enter into the resting place? Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your what? Everybody see that? Okay. So let's go back to Psalm 23. All right, does God have a resting place? He does, doesn't He? It's a resting place that has been here before the foundation of the world. And when a person hears the gospel and he homogenizes, he mixes that gospel with faith in his soul, at that point, that person enters into God's rest. This is the resting place that is available from the creation of the world. And one commentator wrote, "There is a state of holy happiness that Christians enjoy on earth as well as heaven, and unto which they enter by the belief of the truth." So, the Lord is my what? My shepherd. Was He shepherding those people of Israel? Right through the wilderness, right? His desire is that those people would hear and believe. And those who believed entered into God's rest. And folks, aren't you not glad that the shepherd made you rest in Christ? Isaiah spoke of that glorious future resting place on Mount Zion. You know what happened on Mount Zion? Our Lord was crucified. Aren't you thankful that the Lord providentially found you, that lost sheep, and He providentially guided you, maybe brought you into a Bible-believing church where you heard the gospel for the first time? Aren't you thankful that you believed and entered into that rest? It's like a shepherd leading the sheep to waters, to a resting place of quiet waters, so that his soul is restored. You know what? You didn't even know the shepherd was doing that in your life when you were lost. But aren't you thankful that he makes you lie down and he makes you ruminate upon his precious words so that you can mix it with faith and you can be guided to those waters of his resting place that are in Christ? So that no matter what's going on around you, you and I, brethren, you and I can have a soul that is fully guarded by the shepherd. Fully fed, no matter how much pain, no matter how much trial, no matter how fiery it is. The shepherd is there feeding you. He expects you to meditate on those words. And he has given you that resting place when he declared you righteous. And he gives you that resting place, the peace of God, that passes all what? All understanding. And what does it do? It guards your heart by Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great shepherd. Isn't that our real need? That's our real need. Let's go to our Lord in prayer.